Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All that cheering you may have heard yesterday afternoon was college football fans rejoicing that the seeding is now changed for the college football playoff. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I'm trying to think the last time college football powers that be did anything that was this universally liked as what they decided to do yesterday, which needed unanimous approval, because everyone loves to rip on college football. It's so easy to rip on the NCAA and the college football playoff, and it's rife with corruption and hypocrisy and all that stuff. But everyone, Pearl, seemed to like the fact that they were going away from ranking the conference champions, the top four seeds, and getting a bye. Now it's just straight seeding. Year one through fours, those are the teams that are getting the first round byes.
Absolutely, and it's the right call, and it was very annoying last year the way it was set up. But I did actually, a typical now Perloff hater in fashion, I had the thought, I'm like, oh, this is not going to prevent blowouts in the first round. In fact, you could have more blowouts.
How so?
Because now you're going to get top seeds. You're going to have 4 versus 12.
Right. 5 versus 12.
5 versus 12. Like, that's going to be a blowout. Because at least Boise State and Arizona, like, the first round was, like, 7 versus, you had major conference teams playing each other in the first round. And then the lower conference teams, sorry, Big 12, had to wait to the second round. So now you're going to have, for example, like, Boise State or SMU or Arizona State playing like Ohio State in the first round. That should be a blowout.
Right, but I think I see what you're saying, but I actually think you may have a chance to get some better games. Like, let me tell you, last year, had they done the straight seeding, this is what the first round matchups would have looked like. Clemson and Notre Dame, 12-5.
Right.
Boise and Indiana, the 8-9.
Right.
Oh, that would have been much closer, I think.
Yeah.
Arizona State, Ohio State, maybe that was a blowout. We didn't know that Ohio State was on their way to running the table. And then SMU, Tennessee is the 10-7. And I think that looks like it maybe would have been a lot closer. So then you would have had Oregon, Georgia, Texas, and Penn State as your top four seeds. They all would not get a home playoff game under this format, but they do get the first round bye.
Yeah, I mean, I still think the problem, and we've always said it with a 12-team playoff, is that the top teams are going to be way ahead of the bottom teams in the 12. And I don't think this changes that.
Well, but think about it. Last year, having that bye didn't help anybody, right? Oregon got blown out. Again, we didn't know Ohio State was going to go on this tear.
You're right. Last year was
Texas
more
Texas and Arizona State, we didn't have good games.
But wouldn't you expect the 5 to kill the 12, usually?
Well, when the 5 is Notre Dame and the 12 is Clemson, I don't know if they're actually killing them. Notre Dame had a great season. They go all the way to the championship game and lose, right? But I think that could have been a close game.
Clemson wasn't great last year. I mean, that game was okay with Ohio State Clemson last year? It was
Clemson, Texas.
Yeah. Clemson, like, that game was okay, but Clemson really shouldn't have even been in the playoff last year. Because SMU rolled over in the ACC title game.
Yeah.
I just think that we're always going to have this problem where there's going to be some non-competitive game, just like last year. I don't think this fixes that.
Well, I mean, it is sports. Like, we just never know. We think we know, but you actually have to play the games. And so are you going to have blowouts? Like, it's going to happen. I think you are guarding against them a lot more with the straight seeding than you would.
Really?
My question is about the second round. Do we have the same thing where, so what they were trying to do last year, say that the top five conference champions get a bye because in theory they just played a conference tournament. So they wanted to give them like a breather, and reward them for winning their conference title. And then they get a bye. It turned out totally backfired. All of those teams lost and lost pretty big. Guard against that?
Not Arizona State.
Not Arizona State. Yeah. That Texas game was awesome. But the other three were not close.
Well, here's the thing. I think you're going to have, with the last year's format, you definitely had big conference going against big conference throughout the first round. Now you're going to have big conference against little conference in two of the matchups, probably.
Well, but eventually you're getting big conference versus, I would say, little conference.
Yeah, in the second round.
You're always going to get that.
Right. You won't have second round blowouts, but you didn't really. I mean, listen, the first round was not competitive last year. It was not. Were any of the games close?
I got to go back and think. Yeah. But no, they all felt like they were pretty big blows.
Yeah,
but
I mean, Penn State had that really cold game against SMU. Ohio State killed Tennessee. Texas killed Clemson. So it's hard. I think, and this is, you said this, like, we're really worried about blowouts as you expand the college football playoff. The sport feels very top heavy. It's not like basketball where anything can happen yet.
Well, but wouldn't expansion maybe help that? Because I know you love the SEC and you think the SEC is still criminally underrated, you know, at times. If you had Alabama, do you think that they would have?
Yeah.
You
know, could have made a run.
If they had Ole Miss, do you think they're getting blown out?
South Carolina would have been an interesting team last year.
Exactly. So I don't know if it's about if expanding necessarily means more blowouts, but now you are going to have this straight seeding. So, yeah, for the Boise States and for Arizona State, who had buys to the second round, that would no longer be the case.
You know, the other thing, too, one thing that screws this all up is the non-balanced schedule. So sometimes, and this is not going to help that, you had an Indiana who just happens to play nobody, and then they get into the playoff, but they're not ready for the playoff because their schedule was deceiving.
Right.
And that's still going to happen. Look at, for example, we keep talking about Bill Belichick in North Carolina. They play a Division II schedule for most of the season, basically. They could get to the playoff and get blown away because they had a deceiving record, and this doesn't fix that.
You know, I think I would have liked to have seen, again, if this was, you know, if this was last year, they were using the straight seeding. I think I'd rather see the Boise State, Indiana, you know, I'd rather see that. I think that could have been maybe a closer game, knowing what we know now, because you're right, Indiana didn't play a lot of people, but maybe Boise is a little bit more of a better challenge for them.
Yeah, well, right, but Indiana really shouldn't have been the eighth team in the country. You know, they really were not the... Were they eight? I'm sorry, or seven or eight? They really did not belong that ranked that high.
Indiana was eighth in this ranking.
Yeah.
They were seeded 10th.
Yeah, I just think that. And also, even Boise State probably shouldn't have been ninth last year.
Well,
there are probably teams behind them that were a little better. I mean, listen, we love our friends in Boise. Nothing against them, but were they really a better team than Alabama, who was 13?
I mean, Alabama had three losses.
Yeah, I know, but that's because their schedule, and they had to. Yeah, I know they lost to Vanderbilt, but are they? Again, I asked you that question: was Boise State that much better than Alabama last year?
Well, I think people saw how Boise State played Oregon, and they were like, you know what, this is a team that actually does belong. They can't help their schedule; they're playing in the Mountain West, so they play who they play, and they were dominant. And then when they played Oregon, it looked really good.
I think some of this,
and Oregon was the number one team in the country going away.
I think there is some conflict of. At some point, there's got to be some meritocracy to this in some degree, right? Like, we can't just say, well, Alabama could lose however many games, but we still think they're better than Boise, therefore they get jumped up. Like, if Boise beats everybody on their schedule and then plays the number one team in the country to essentially
a
standstill,
then
it's like,
3 points?
Yeah, like, now we're guessing that Alabama's better rather than Alabama having shown us in that.
And well,
not that it's wrong, but it's just,
but it's like, why even play the game?
Right,
you might as well just do the whole thing as a ranking for executives in a room.
But there were very serious people, including Nick Saban, who really questioned that schedule imbalance last year. And it was Indiana, it was a bunch of teams were saying, wait, are we really getting the best teams through? The NFL has a more balanced scheduling where it's hard. I mean, you do have unbalanced schedules, but I think that's a problem with college football. We really don't know. You're right. It should be a meritocracy, but do we really know if you're in a harder conference where you are? That's why they don't want to add, you know, another conference game. I just think that there's something weird going on where the wrong teams sometimes get through.
Do you think this is going to drastically help next year,
no.
The postseason tournament?
It's not going to be that different. Do you think it's? I do think we're gonna have a 5-12 blowout and a 6-11 blowout.
But do you also have to sort of bake that in a little bit with just sports because you don't know. None of us know.
But it felt last year like we knew.
I don't think so. I don't think all those fans that went to Ohio State and filled up the horseshoe. I don't think they knew. The Tennessee fans who went up there and, you know, it was a sea of orange. I don't think they realized what was about to happen. So I don't think that's necessarily true.
I mean, we had a lot of big spreads in last year's playoff. A lot of double-digit spreads.
Well, it's college football, though. Like, I feel like double-digit spreads are kind of the thing.
Yeah, that's why it's not college basketball, where you have no idea how those top seeds are going to do. To answer your question, no, I do think there is going to be a predictability to it, and you're always going to have that. Maybe I could be wrong. I'm not. Maybe NIL will make it more parity, but I just see there's going to be just as many non-competitive games as there were last year.
Okay, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but then on the flip side of it, is that necessarily a bad thing for college football? Because when you get down to it, and we do this with college basketball too, you love the Cinderellas early, and then you want the Blue Bloods late, right?
No,
that's what we always say. So
no, it's great.
Right, right. So was anyone really complaining when we get a Final Four last year of Notre Dame against Penn State and Ohio State against Texas?
I mean, I think some people missed Alabama in there. I think there was a little spark missing.
See, I don't know if one team does that.
I mean, they're kind of like the Duke basketball of college football. I think there was felt like there was just a tiny lack of something in those playoffs.
I think it's the fact that Georgia wasn't there may have been actually a bigger.
But
these Final Four teams, this was intriguing. Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, Texas. Outside of Alabama and Georgia, can you get any bigger in college football?
But I do think there were some people who felt like Penn State and Notre Dame got through because their path was so easy.
Yeah,
that's fine. And I know that Penn State got to play SMU and they got to play Boise. I understand that, and it set up well for them. But let's not pretend like Penn State came out of nowhere. I mean, they also were a great team. They had the third overall pick in the draft this year. Like, they were a compelling team.
They were 1-17 against top 10 teams. Got into that.
But they're a huge program. Like, it's not like you're that shocked that Penn State's there at the end.
But if Penn State has to face Miami or Alabama, I think there's a lot more respect for them getting to where they got. Like, those teams, like, I think that's just a reality, right? It's just like we look at what Notre Dame having to face us, you know, Indiana at home, and thinking, man, if that was Miami, it was Catholics versus conflicts, and they beat the number one pick in the draft, you'd be like, you know what? Damn, Notre Dame, like, we feel better about them, I think, going into those later games.
They got an injury against Georgia, so that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so right. That, Carson Beck got hurt. But here's the, but it's funny because when I'm watching that game, mm-hmm. I wasn't like, man, Penn State, what posers. They really didn't deserve to be here. I watched a game that was 27-24.
It was an exciting
football game. In the moment, I'm not man, Penn State really doesn't deserve to be on the same field here as Notre Dame.
I mean, us and everybody else was like, oh, man, James Franklin, big game. I'm a little nervous here. That was a thing.
Yeah, but that's going to always be a thing with James Franklin until he wins. And it's by the way, that's compelling. Like, that's intriguing to me. They have Drew Aller now, who's maybe an early Heisman favorite. That usually doesn't go well for guys. But they're hyping up Penn State this year.
No, I do. But to get back to your original point, I don't think this shift will fix the imbalance. We're going to still see almost the same amount of blowouts because you're still going to have those teams play somebody.
EJ, can you throw that up on the poll? Straight seeding. Are we still going to have first-round blowouts in college football?
Right. I mean, there should be theoretically. Last year, we had the second-round blowouts because, I don't even know if this is going to help the first-round blowouts. I think this will help the second round because the better teams will get through. But I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how this could play out. I don't think it's a major, major difference. You think this is going to feel different next year?
I do, and I think you're going to get better matchups in the first round, more even potentially matchups. Like, again, when I go back to what this would have looked like last year, you know, I think that it would have been a better game between Indiana and Boise State. I think it would have been a better game SMU-Tennessee. You know, maybe Clemson gives a little bit more of a scare to Notre Dame. So, to me, I think that this could have been actually a lot better. And, again, I've never seen anything like this in college football. I know you're against the grain because your brain is wired that way. Most people loved this yesterday. College football hasn't taken a W like this in a while.
Well, I thought it was good, but I don't think it. If you think it's gonna be a game changer come next year, because actually, just to get back, like the first round was better last year because the lower teams got the bye into the second round, right? So that you're talking about the second round was less competitive because teams that didn't belong there were there,
right?
So I think you're still going to see, you might even have more first round blowouts because you're going to get the group of five team is going to play in the first round and not in the second round.
Right. But can I offer you that somehow, some way, those second, the teams that were on the bye seem like they were not ready to play, you know? So maybe it evens it out a little bit. Although I doubt Oregon's going to make that mistake again. And Ohio State turned out to be the national champs. They were awesome, but you wouldn't be able to catch like Oregon napping.
But one point I do, and I disagree, I think, a little bit with both of you. I do think the SEC and the Big Ten were frustrated last year about the way this played out. Yeah, I think there were a lot of people in Alabama, and there were like, it wasn't just me who said, I don't know if the best teams are going through. I'm not sure South Carolina's not better than some of these teams. I'm not sure Miami's not better than some of these teams.
And Miami can't go to Syracuse and lose. Alabama can't go to Oklahoma and lose. That's
I know, but the reality is you still say, wow, there's a lot of first-round draft picks on that Alabama team. The other thing, I think Alabama has such a target on their back. They come into your stadium, you are amped. I mean, Vanderbilt was an okay team, but they were playing out of their mind. I think that it's easier for an Indiana Hoosier team to storm through Northwestern, Purdue, Michigan State. So my take.
You know what's funny about that? I don't think that's just an Alabama thing. Like, I think if Texas comes to town, you're hyped up about that. If Penn State comes to town, you're hyped up about that. If Notre Dame comes to town, I mean,
Alabama has six or seven championships in the last 20 years.
Yeah, but Saban's gone.
You're saying Saban's gone, but I think there's a little bit of that glow still there. They are, to me, still the premier program for right now, although they're losing that grip under Kellen DeBoer.
I think it's a huge season for DeBoer. We can talk about that later at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Diehard college football fans, we know we're talking to a lot of you. Did this hit you in any way? You like this? You hate this? Talk more about some coaches with a lot to prove. Also coming up, apparently there's some tension. Between who?
Mm-hmm.
Whom? I never get that one right. Who and whom? Anyway.
Believe it's whomst.
Thank you, Manny. Whomst amongst us. The Lakers and LeBron, front office and the superstar with tension. Wouldn't you think everything would be good now?
I mean, he has Bronny there. Is he trying to get Bryce?
what does he have to complain about? You got Luka and Bronny. We'll tell you next, M&P.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This NASCAR preview is sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. All right, Manny, what do you got?
Guys, Memorial Day weekend is here, and it's one of the biggest weekends in auto racing in these here United States of America. All eyes turn to Kyle Larson. He will start his day up in Indianapolis and will participate in the 109th running of the Indianapolis 500. He will then get on a helicopter to a private jet that will take him to North Carolina and onto a second chopper to head to Charlotte Motor Speedway to participate in the Coca-Cola 600. Larson, he tried this last year, the double duty, finishing in dead last up in Indy before getting a DNF at the Coca-Cola 600. And a quick look at the top of the standings in the NASCAR Cup. The aforementioned Larson is at the top with William Byron, Christopher Bell, Chase Elliott, and Ryan Blaney rounding out the top five. 600 miles, 400 laps, Coca-Cola 600. Charlotte Motor Speedway, Green Flag Wave, Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern.
Good job, Manny Tires. You got to come back and try that again.
Yeah, nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, you can't come in last and then get disqualified. You got to give that a second shot.
A big old dead last as a rookie in open wheel last season, and then did not finish at the Coca-Cola 600 later
yeah,
that
sorry,
night.
Yeah, sorry, DNF. You got to come back. You got to avenge that.
The only place to go is up.
Exactly.
Kurt Busch was the last one to complete both back in 2004.
I remember when he did that. I love it. I love when these things happen. We don't have this anymore. We don't have a Dion who's playing in an NFL game and then going to play in a playoff baseball game.
We kind of have Shohei and Travis Hunter.
Yeah, but Shohei's not going to pitch six innings of shutout baseball and then going to tee off at a golf event.
1,100 miles between Indianapolis and Charlotte.
I mean, not to nitpick here, but Kyle Larson's not going from the Indy race to go play tennis against somebody.
Well, I know, but it's basically
the same mechanics. You hit the gas and you turn.
Oh, what are you trying to say? You're just driving in circles?
I'm just saying Indy 500 is... I think pitching and hitting is way different than open wheel racing. And like, it's still racing. Ask Tony Stewart. I mean...
I'm backing away from this one.
Wait.
It's different cars. They're totally different. It's got to be a totally different experience, I would imagine.
Yeah, open wheel.
Oh, really? I've heard Tony Stewart talk about the skills, but he did both, you know, that there's definitely an obvious commonality.
Well, I mean, wouldn't...
Well,
wouldn't
Travis Hunter's the commonality between playing wide receiver and defensive back. Well, I mean, Shohei's the only one that's wildly different.
Yeah, I think Shohei is more different than Kyle
Larson. Still the same sport, though.
Yeah, but I feel as though it's like if it were so easy for NASCAR, for stock car drivers to do it, it would be the entire Indy field.
There's been a lot of crossover through the years.
Well, yeah, there has been. I remember Juan Pablo Montoya being one of the first in my early memory bank. So, I mean, yeah, it does happen. But I do believe that it's got to be different. It's open wheel and stock car.
Right, but it's also because I think if you took the top drivers at each sport and gave them time to focus on the other sport, that they could figure it out.
I don't doubt that.
It's not like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to have LeBron James. Hey, LeBron, I'll give you 4 months to try to hit this 94-mile-per-hour slider.
Jordan tried that. Didn't work out very well.
I heard.
Yeah. Where's Indy 500 on your sports bucket list? Top five? Top 10?
We were in Indy for the Super Bowl in 2011 or 12, and I was offered a drive around, and I couldn't do it, and I regretted that, but... Yeah, I don't know. I feel like when I was a kid, the Indy 500 was a lot bigger.
I think it's still huge. I think it's one of those things where even if you're not into auto racing necessarily, you get there and you do that trip and that weekend and you're so happy you did.
You know what I feel about the Indy 500? I feel like it's one of those things where I'd want to go to the Indianapolis race, Speedway, and I want to like kiss the bricks. I want to like walk around and maybe get in a car and drive around. Sure. I don't know if I need to be at the event. I think it's one of those venues.
The 100,000 people? You don't think that's part of the magic?
I think the venue is special for me. For me, the venue is special.
Would you like to go to the Kentucky Derby with no race? It's kind of the
same thing. I think that's different. I think that's different. I think the Kentucky Derby, the actual race and the atmosphere, dressing up in the suits and the women hats. With the hats and the dresses, like that is a experience. I think you have to be there to see the actual experience. I think I would love to just be on the racetrack and like be like, wow, this is crazy. You know how much history is here? See the bricks right there? Like, that's cool. I don't know if I need to sit there for the 4 hours and see
that's
the race.
Interesting. I'm like trying to think if there's another venue where you would just be cool with showing up, even if the game or the thing's not being played in that moment. The Masters probably get to see the course.
When I was interning in Philadelphia at 94 WIP, I was staying at Drexel, which is right across the way from Penn.
Right.
And I didn't get to go inside, but even walking around the Palestra to me was amazing. And I wish I could have been able to get inside the gym. I don't know if I need to see Penn play. I don't know if I need to see a game there. Well, I think if I just walked in the gym, it was just like, wow, this is the oldest, besides Hinkleyfield, the oldest basketball court in America.
Both. They're both awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Fenway and Wrigley, by the way, would be mine. But go ahead. Sorry, man.
That's a good one.
Mine would probably be the Camp Nou in Barcelona, but I would love to watch Barcelona play. Of course.
But it's just like, it's kind of weird where the venue is the thing. I think Perloff's right. Fenway and Wrigley for sure. Just walking in, do you need to actually watch a baseball game there to get the magic?
Wembley Stadium, a bunch of soccer stadiums for me.
I think Hinkle Fieldhouse, I think, is the same way. Like, I think, and I'm not even a Hoosiers guy, but I would kill to get inside Hinkle Fieldhouse, just walk around. Do I need to see Butler playing?
I felt that way being on the Notre Dame campus for the first time. It was like we got to go in the stadium, which is actually pretty basic.
Yeah.
But just being on the campus and the touchdown Jesus and all that stuff was really cool.
When you walk into Hinkle, you're federally required to measure the ground to the top of the rim.
Well, just like kissing the bricks. You got to drink some milk. You got to do all that stuff.
Can I say one that'll impress Manny? No. I walked outside. I couldn't get into La Bombonera in Buenos Aires.
Oh, yeah, of course, where Boca Juniors plays.
Boca Juniors, where Diego Maradona came up. And it is the craziest stadium you'll ever see in your life. And there's so much history there. That, I think, is one of the soccer ones. What's the most famous soccer stadium?
I mean, La Bombonera is up there. Estadio Maracanã in Brazil is a pretty big one as well, where the first World Cup final was. And again,
Azteca?
Old Trafford.
Estadio Azteca, Old Trafford.
Old Trafford.
Anfield in Liverpool, of course. I mean, again, a bunch of these English soccer stadiums and Spanish soccer stadiums for me, they do the trick.
That'd be fun as a Maggie and Perloff show to do a international soccer tour to go to all these stadiums.
When no one's playing.
And we learn the stadium names.
No, I would love to go. I'm dying to go to some of these England spots. They seem amazing. Yeah, I mean, do we have the budget to go to... We'll just go down to Argentina, up to Spain.
Into London.
Back to London. Yeah.
You want to go by cargo ship? Maybe we have the budget. I don't know. Flying, we have the budget.
Meanwhile,
we're trying to get to Buffalo for training camp. Might be an issue. I don't know if we have the budget to go to London.
Well, can we get an MLS game? Maybe we could definitely go to Jersey.
That's actually a salient point. Yeah,
I go to Jersey every day. I wake up there.
Red Bulls will probably treat us all right.
Yeah,
no, we love the Red Bulls.
We can do the Red Bulls. Old Trafford, not so much.
Well, I mean,
different type of Reds.
Can we get over there for an NFL game and somehow double dip? I don't know if the seasons overlap.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure the Jags, we could talk to Tony.
I would almost.
No, they're not going this year.
Mm.
No, thanks a lot, Roger. They have one game there.
They have one game. Yeah. They're not doing the back-to-back. That's the
Vikings. I can easily skip that NFL game over there. I don't need to see some 23-16 fumble fest.
You don't want to see Vikings-Browns? How dare you? That doesn't get you going?
Yeah.
What if I told you it was Kenny Pickett?
Well, I would. It'd be nice to be over there so I don't have to remember at 9:15 in the morning to set my fantasy line.
It'd be just a regular time for you.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of those 9:30 games. They never really work out the way you want them to.
I hate those games.
Yeah, they're not a great viewer experience.
They're not.
Forgive me because I'm going to try to do this off the top of my head, and that's going to be stupid. When they eventually do the Australia game,
yeah,
is that going to?
It's the exact opposite, right? So
is it? I don't say on the other side of the world.
Well,
but
let's think about it.
I think a 12-hour
game
difference.
MLB games when they start in Japan usually start at 6 a.m. Eastern time.
Right.
And that's, where's Australia? Australia is more or less
6 p.m. probably, or it's 5 p.m. or something. Yeah.
All right. I'll do a little research here. It's going to be 1 p.m. local time.
Australian time.
Yeah.
Wait, what's going to be 1 p.m. local time?
It looks like
they
Rams
already scheduled
game.
The time?
According to AI overview, which, by the way, sucks. Google. I mean, I can't live without you, but this AI overview thumbs all the way down. It's wrong all the time.
I don't know if it's worth AI overview or the Apple weather app, because the Apple weather app is garbage.
That's
too.
Also garbage.
Oh, Alexa never knows what the hell the weather's going to be. Is she the same thing?
The Apple?
No, she's Google.
Yeah, no, that's Google. That's Amazon. The Apple app, you can go on your phone and see what the weather is, and it'll say, whatever, 60 degrees cloudy. You'll go outside and it'll be raining. You'll be like,
How are you wrong now?
The person that's doing this app, all they have to do is look outside and see it's raining, or just step outside. Why is it
new
still
phone,
saying it's cloudy?
It
it's incredible. They are so wrong. It is so wrong so often about the current weather.
I know. We all think that this technology is making things better and better, but the Google AI overview just totally screwed me yesterday when I was looking something up, and it's just the worst.
You know how many times I walked Lita during this winter, and I'm walking outside, and, oh, okay, it's not snowing. I go outside and it's snowing. I'm like, how do you not know it's snowing? This crap is crap. It's terrible. The app, I don't know what happened to Apple weather. It didn't used to be this bad, but in the last year or two, it just doesn't even know the current weather.
Yeah, I'm here for this vent all day long. I have so many problems, like little apps and things.
The
traffic app, don't get me started.
Oh, I know.
You got some, Gordon?
It's annoying because you don't have to be a futurist to realize what's happening here, which is the machines and the AI is only getting more invasive in our lives, not less. Yet they're still working out a lot of kinks and bugs and all that stuff. And so we got to be here for the 1.0 version and the 2.0 version. And it stinks.
But that kind of AI overview is just Google, basically. Like,
no,
it's
but
the same
for
exact
some reason,
thing.
It's like really, it can be very wrong.
AI, I heard something about this. AI is a marketing term. Like, it's not really artificial intelligence. The computer didn't teach itself how to, like, the Rams are playing 1 p.m.
How to look up what time is Melbourne 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, which, by the way, I don't think that, I'm reading the story now, there's no confirmation of that whatsoever. Maybe
see?
It's right.
It's lying.
But it's not,
I got that from AI.
Is that really
overview.
Artificial intelligence, or is that just like a slightly higher level Google?
In fairness, the AI says that the NFL will release the game's exact date in mid-May of 2026.
Okay, so AI overview did lie to me when they said that a game was scheduled for 1 p.m.
Which is
it doesn't know.
Yeah. 11. Where's it actually?
They're covering all its bases. It's
where's
saying
the game,
it's at
Brisbane?
This time, but it's not that time.
It's just like, lie to those sheep.
Right.
They don't know. We're all getting dumber. Damn.
Maybe they're in cahoots with the Elias people and the whole stats about the Pacers are actually
beat me to it. Damn it.
Honestly, who's going to challenge them? Teams are zero.
Elias, come on, step up and challenge them.
994 when leading by 10 points with 2 minutes and 14 seconds left to go.
So they could play at 12 p.m. noon Brisbane time and it'd be a 10 p.m. Eastern start, 7 p.m. Pacific time. That'll work.
It's like a 10 p.m. Saturday game would be.
Yeah.
Wait
I think
minute.
That'll work.
Brisbane and Melbourne are the same time?
Oh, is that where they... I'm sorry. I thought the game was in Brisbane.
Yeah, I think it's in Melbourne.
It's Melbourne.
Oh, yeah. It can't be that different.
I'm pretty sure just about everywhere in Australia, except for Perth, is all in the same time zone. Because basically, nobody lives anywhere in Australia except on the west coast of Australia.
Because it's the outback?
I think the middle of Australia is basically... You can't
orange,
live there.
Red rock.
It's just like desert.
Yeah, I got the same for Melbourne. And look at Gordon with the geography facts.
Mr. National Geographic over here.
I was very busy on TikTok the last couple of days.
Yeah, that never lies.
No.
It's as good as the AI overview. I didn't know that about Australia. I don't know much about Australia. We were just talking about bucket list and whether the Indy 500 would be on your bucket list.
NFL game in Australia.
See, I want to go to Australia, but I got like 15 other places I want to go first.
They got some big old spiders.
Australia, yeah, see, New Zealand. Helping. How can you not want to go there? That's a New Zealand for me would be a little bit about Milford Trail. Who's into that? Anyone?
It's so
New Zealand does seem like it's another world on our planet.
Yes.
Like it doesn't seem like it should belong on Earth.
Mm.
My in-laws went to Australia, and you can go to this place where there's just kangaroos. There's a field of kangaroos, and you can hang out with the kangaroos.
Nah, that does not appeal to me at all.
Have you seen
a kangaroo up close? That is rough.
Scary.
You don't want to punch a joey?
They are ugly, man.
You wouldn't want to hang out in a field of kangaroos? I don't know how they do this.
I almost cursed, actually, on the air there. That's how no is for me.
100 kangaroos versus Maggie. Who wins?
Yeah.
100 kangaroos versus Maggie. Set it up. The next
big
show back.
Adventure traveler over here.
Yes, me in the outback.
Yeah, like you're like, do they have a Four Seasons?
Do they?
Is there a spa? Man, I would love to go to any of these places.
Andrea, my fiance, she spent a month in Australia. She said it was maybe the best time of her life.
Oh, yeah,
no, I'm not turning my nose
at
up
time?
At traveling.
You know, it was before.
Like but as I'm saying, you do not want your girlfriend in Australia for a month. The men in Australia are...
Crikey.
You don't compete with an Australian
man. Well, it's funny because I was also on TikTok recently.
Yeah. They all look like Chris Hemsworth, basically.
Yeah, I could see that.
And the one from New Zealand, they look like Stephen Adams.
Yeah, my wife
Which is a, look,
a fan
by
of
the
Australian
way.
Men for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe.
The accent? Thunder Down Under, the Las Vegas review?
It's a former penal colony, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no laws.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think I do. That's actually true, right, Gordon?
Yeah, that is true. I learned that also on TikTok.
That I did know, but the way he emphasized penal was just...
Yeah. And I love that everyone looks like Chris Hemsworth when in your mind.
Yeah. If you ever go to a hostel in Europe, there's always... I don't think anyone in Australia works. There's always 20 Australians partying at any given time. Right? They travel first. They get basically 6 months off to travel. That's the kind of part of their culture. Mm. And they are in every hostel ever.
Man, going into a hostel in Europe sounds like the beginning of a scary movie.
Oh, it's great. Did the hostel stuff in Europe?
It sounds like the beginning of a Liam Neeson movie.
Somehow. I'm going to need Liam Neeson to find me on a train to Madrid.
I had no idea that you did not like... I thought you were an international travel adventurer, Maggie.
Nope. I don't know what ever gave you that person, that impression. I have been lucky to travel, but I wouldn't have stayed in a hostel, no.
Really? I mean, you haven't... You've never stayed at a hostel?
I have, but I wasn't eager to run back to it.
Oh, okay.
You like traveling where you sleep with people who are snoring and farting and all that stuff?
Yes. Because hostels is where you find out where the parties are. I mean, I don't want to stay in a hotel. When I was single, definitely.
I don't know. Maybe it's a man-woman thing. I went to camp, so I slept in a bunk with a bunch of people. That's what hostel is. You don't get your own room. Most of them, it's like communal bathroom pass.
Cut that. That's a great drop.
I'm the weirdo. You guys travel at hostels?
No, I'm absolutely with you.
Yeah, but you're 21, I'm saying, not now.
Right. I'm scarred by hostels.
You didn't
people
like
people snore.
No, nothing to do with living in a hostel. I was dumped in a hostel. So
in a different country?
Damn. No, here. There was a hostel bar near Times Square. Which was right by where my school was.
Also sounds like the beginning of a scary movie. Go ahead.
Got dumped.
Really?
In the hostel bar, yeah.
Oh, EJ, you don't even drink. I bet you did that night.
Did she meet an Australian man in that bar?
Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if that was the reason why.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can see why you'd be scarred by that.
Every time I hear the word hostel, I'm just like, ugh.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Like I got goosebumps. I feel like The Rock. I can just point to my arms.
But look how good you're doing now.
Yeah, sure, I'm doing great now. But no, when I think of hostel, that word even, just, yeah.
No dice. Gordon, sorry. Hang around, will you? And we'll get a proper update after the break.
Sounds good. Where am I going? What do I got to do?
Well, I'm looking up.
Staying in a hostel. I can tell you that right now.
There's a hostel bar in Times Square. You might want to go down there.
You might get dumped, though.
Oh, yeah.
Or you meet EJ's ex.
The women there, brutal. Okay, lots to do, including we will get to that LeBron James, the tension between him and the front office for the Lakers, according to one Lakers insider. Sit tight.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Gordon Damer's with us this morning. Surprising wealth of facts about Australia. So this is a send up to Gordon.
I can't believe you don't want to go to Australia. You are tan and fit. You fit in perfectly in Australia.
Thank you. I love Foster's. No, it's all stereotypes.
Australian for beer.
I didn't say I didn't want to go. I'm not turning my nose up at going. I just said there's like 15 other places I want to go first.
Got it.
I really want to go to Japan. I want to go to Machu Picchu. There's a couple
me
other
too.
Places.
Me too. Yeah, I'm down with those.
And I'm not going to any of them.
I would get to, you know, the sunburn in Sydney would be a problem for me.
Yeah, your SPF 1000.
Part of the world is tough.
It was not made for Andrew Perloff, but we were not able to get to Gordon's update, so give us some headlines.
All right, well, of course, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got his MVP award last night before the game, then went out and showed why he is the MVP. Thunder beat the Timberwolves 118-103. Third quarter, the story, OKC outscored Minnesota 35-21. That was all she wrote. SGA matched his career playoff high with 38. It was his fifth consecutive 30-point game in the playoffs, his ninth in this postseason. He scored at least 8 points in all four quarters, and the T-Wolves eventually just got so frustrated by him. In the fourth quarter, Jaden McDaniels actually shoved him in the back on a drive, which earned him a flagrant foul. So not to...
Yeah, they were like, let's go to the videotape. It's like, I don't think you have to. I think that was two-hand shoved to the back, pretty standard.
Well, yeah,
still
but
took
he,
5 minutes
he was
to
mad
review.
About a call that happened about 30 seconds before. He wasn't mad at SGA. He was mad at the officials.
Yeah.
And SGA for doing the hook move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a combo. Yeah, I don't know. I think he was mad at the foul merchanting, and I'm going to say that word because I know it annoys you.
It does.
Stanley Cup playoffs didn't take the Panthers long to get rolling last night.
Carolina Hurricanes control. Andrei Svechnikov didn't clear. Forsling in front of shot. He scores! Gus Forsling, 1 minute, 17 seconds in. It's 1-0 Panthers. They cash in off the Carolina turnover.
Yeah, that's the call on Panthers radio. One of three first period goals. Panthers roll to a 5-0 win over the Hurricanes to go up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Sam Bennett, 2 goals and an assist.
That was our goal. Right from the beginning, and we got what we wanted, but still, obviously, lots of work to do. And yeah, we're not gonna relax or sit back now. We know it's gonna get more difficult for sure.
Well, it's gonna get harder because they're going home. Florida has now won 4 straight road games by a combined score of 22-4. And who doesn't love a little baseball history? The Rockies making some history.
Yay.
Lost to the Phillies 2-0.
Oh.
They are now 8-42. That is the worst 50-game start since 1895. Somebody had to go back and find that.
Elias, too much damn time.
No, right. I've always maintained 1895, you said?
1895.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're keeping box score. Like,
Come on. How?
We're fighting
how
tuberculosis.
Accurate? Right, yeah.
We're building railroads.
You really? Someone's in the pencil?
Cardinals. Right.
The pencil's made out of actual lead?
We're in mines.
No, I'm sorry. I know somehow we built the pyramids 5,000 years ago, so it's not like there was no innovation happening.
Well,
the Greeks came up with irrigation.
About,
I get it, but come on, we're doing box scores in 1895.
We're not talking about VORP or WAR or advanced analytics. It's just the record.
Just
they can keep the record.
The averages that you learned in school.
I'm dubious.
Well,
someone spills a cup of coffee, history is just gone forever.
Gordon, do you have the exit velo of some of those home runs?
Yeah. I do not. No.
What was the defensive WAR of One Eye Mitchell?
I was going to say no one had teeth, but yeah, I'm sure this is totally accurate.
They all had great nicknames.
But even with my math skills, they are on pace for 136 losses this year.
That's not good.
That would be a new record.
Yeah, and firing the manager really did a lot.
Well, wasn't there the last few years we've had a few challengers for all time?
Yeah, the White Sox last season.
They set the mark last year.
Did they eventually set it?
They did.
Lost track.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So many losses.
I think the White Sox also lost track.
Yeah.
I mean, it works, though. The Astros did this a couple years ago, now
if you know what
over
you're doing.
A decade ago, and it helped.
If you know what you're doing.
Do the White Sox know what they're doing?
Do the Rockies know what they're doing?
Them, too.
Learn next week on Dragon Ball Z.
I mean, what was the team in 1895 again? It was
the
Louisville Boston Blue
Colonels.
Bombers.
Oh,
yeah. The Louisville Colonels?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Colonel Sanders was their first baseman.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Worst record of all time, the 1899 Cleveland Spiders. Pretty cool nickname.
Yeah, but they probably but still ended up losing like what 65 games because they only played 70 games.
No, 154.
Oh my goodness,
20 and 154. The Pittsburgh Alleghenies were 23-1.
Yeah, I mean, I remember those Alleghenies; they were awful.
I never knew this. Okay, 18. We can go back to 1886.
I know you can't even say
the sports started.
J.J. Reddick's, you know, plumbers and firemen line, because I don't think plumbing was a thing. Firemen may have existed, but I don't know if there was such things as plumbers.
Yeah, I would hope firemen existed then.
I don't know when indoor plumbing started.
But 1886 Kansas...
They have not covered that on TikTok yet. Yeah. I'm sorry.
This is the 1886 Kansas harder. City Cowboys. How many people lived in Kansas City in 1886?
Just the team.
No wonder they were so bad.
Yeah. The 27 guys on the roster.
According to AI Overview, which is wrong all the freaking time, indoor plumbing in America didn't become common until the mid-20th century. So 1920s is what they're saying. Yeah.
God, so Babe Ruth was even playing without plumbing everywhere.
Well, he was wealthy, so I'm sure it was available to him. But
well, on the road when he was playing the Louisville Colonels.
Sorry, Gordon. What else you got?
How about the Pirates? Another terrible team.
Oh, lovely.
They've been a disaster. They've already fired their manager as well, but they still have Paul Skeens.
Yeah.
But there's been some talk lately about maybe they will trade Paul Skeens. Their GM, Ben Cherington, was asked about that yesterday.
People have suggested that maybe you guys should consider trading Paul. Would you guys consider dealing Paul Skeens this season?
No, it's not. It's not at all part of the conversation.
I like how he makes it out. Like, that's ridiculous. You're going to trade him at some point.
It's still a little early for them.
Right, yeah. He still has two more years of pre-arbitration, so he's not going to get expensive for a few years, but by next year, they'll be having the same conversation and the answer.
Yeah, keep the Photoshops of him in the Yankees and the Dodgers uniforms. We all know where this is going.
Hey, the Mets have money now. Come on, put yourself in the conversation, Mags. Come on, be happy.
Or the Mets.
Elsewhere in the scoreboard,
you got Juan Soto. It's working
Blue
out
Jays
for
beat the Padres 7-6 and 11. Right, San Diego has now lost six in a row. That's what I got.
Wow. Do you have any positive
news? Any good news going on?
No. Why would you want any positive news? Well, I gave you the basketball from last night. SGA, the MVP. We start happy, we end sad. I don't know that that's true.
All right, I like the formula.
Gordon, are you aware of Maggie's theme of 2025?
It's a Jinx Busters, right?
Drought Buster.
Drought Buster.
Slump
I'm sorry.
Buster. Slump
so,
Buster.
Okay. Yeah, the hockey is threatening your theory a little bit.
No, the Oilers. Well, I know they have a game tonight. They play tonight, right? Oilers 100% would fill it on two levels, just the Oilers as a franchise and Canada as a whole.
Well, I'm just saying this round.
They're only down 1-0.
This round is not working out so far. It just feels like the Panthers are the, you know.
No, they're good.
Yeah, that would not be good for
me. But the Oilers have the best player in the league, so I still feel good about this.
All right.
It's not over.
I know.
I'm not saying it's over. I'm just saying the way this round has gone has not been all Maggie Gray drought busting.
Hockey is what I really have, you know, the most. Like, this one's going to help me the most because I actually think the Stars also count.
I mean, we've been talking about it. The Stars are basically the Chicago Cubs. I mean,
the same.
What is it, 99?
Yeah. If it starts with a 19 in front of it, it's going to count as a drought buster.
But not if you're going up against a team in the Oilers have been going
I'm going to say
longer.
Whoever makes it to the Stanley Cup Final,
right.
I got a chance here, whether it's Oilers or whether it's Stars.
That's a good point. If the Stars beat the Oilers, I don't know.
I'm still alive, guys. Look, the
if AI has taught us anything, it's to cover your bases.
Mm-hmm. And don't believe everything you read or hear. Thank you for that, Gordon. Very, very good stuff. Okay, we have some stuff to do here. I want to get to, two things that we're not going to have enough time for, because I want to get to LeBron in the Lakers front office.
Yes.
And we have to get to Aaron Rodgers doing a 3-hour sit-down podcast with Joe Rogan and why it's got people so mad. And oddly, the reason why people are so mad has nothing to do with the politics.
You know, I live kind of a quiet life.
I'm just going to go to AI Overview for both of those.
Don't do it.
I'm sure the AI Overview will give you a really detailed, really fact-based interview.
I said, you
breakdown.
Don't know me. And he said, you don't know me.
Really
and I said, exactly.
Another fact-based breakdown of a Aaron Rodgers conversation with Joe Rogan.
There's no facts in an Aaron Rodgers conversation.
Exactly.
You don't know him.
We have
exactly.
A poll question for you. It's the best. Will the new college football playoff straight seeding have fewer blowouts? Most fans say no. They're with you, Pearl. 69% say no. We're going to have the same amount of blowouts.
It's the risk with expanded playoffs, but I still like 12-team better than four. It's exciting.
And then this is going to be probably the last year of 12, 2025, and then we're going to probably go to 16.
I can't even remember. Is that where we left it?
I don't know. Matt Rhule said there should be 40 teams in the college football playoffs.
God bless.
And there was a big joke that went around online that said, even if there are 40 teams, are we sure Nebraska's making it?
We need a law degree. To be a college football writer, you need to have graduated from law school. It's crazy all the rules going on in this sport.
Okay. Speaking of Rodgers, Steelers owner speaking out about Rodgers and whether or not he's actually going to ever suit up for the team.